the prayer before reading the Holy Gospel. Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your Holy Gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. This evening, if you have your Bible with you, would like for us to open up and read the passage of Christ's Sermon on the Mount, specifically something that is familiar to all of us and relevant, especially during these times of the Great Lent, the Beatitudes, verses 1 through 12 of St. Matthew chapter 5. Again, St. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one true God, forever and ever. Amen. This evening, as I was reflecting on what I could share as a message for this evening, the passage of the Beatitudes came to my mind, specifically St. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, that reads, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Again, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And one question that came to my mind is, how can one be a peacemaker? And I know we are all over the phone, and I'm not able to demonstrate a concept that I would like to show each and every one of you, but I think I can do justice by explaining it to you in words. I want you to first imagine a glass-filled jar complete with sugar, and a glass-filled jar complete with salt. So there in front of you, you have two jars, both glasses, and one is filled completely with sugar, and one is filled completely with salt. And I've done this a couple of times as an example when I have spoken in person to several churches. And I would hold both the jars and ask, can you tell me which one is which? And most often times, the people always had to take a guess and think, oh, well, that's sugar or that's salt. It was very difficult to tell, especially from a distance. And I want us to think for a moment, why is it so difficult to tell the difference? I find how salt and sugar, they look so alike, but it's so interesting how they serve two entirely different purposes. If you were to really look at the difference between salt and sugar, I think essentially the only way we would be able to tell the difference is by actually tasting it. And I took this image because I think it reflects us as Christians. When I look at us as Christians and compare us to non-Christians, sometimes I wonder if people are able to tell us apart. We may look different physically, each and every one of us, but sometimes I wonder if our actions and the way we speak and the way we live, if it really is any different from any other person in this world. Even though we want to follow God's will, we still often sin. And there are many kids who don't believe in God, but still do amazingly nice things. So essentially, the point that I want to make is that people can look the same on the outside, but it is what is in their hearts that is really most important. And essentially, we may not be able to tell the difference but with each other, but only God can see who really loves him and believes in him. And he looks inside our hearts to see if we are truly pure. And if I look through all the scriptures, when we look through the entire Bible, we see how righteous people were used as tools for his glory. But we always have to remind ourselves that these people became righteous not because of their own achievement, but because God chose them out of their sinfulness and weakness. He grants them wisdom, and he uses them for a greater purpose. He took ordinary people and he used them for an extraordinary or extraordinary purpose. And when I think about this word peacemaker, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God, I put together a formula that I think would be easy for us to follow this evening as we think about this. The first requirement in order to be a true peacemaker, we have to have a pure heart. By a pure heart, I mean not something that is tainted, not something that is fake, not something that is unreal, but something that is truly, truly pure. Secondly, we need a life that resembles and imitates the Son of God, which is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we find that if we have a pure heart, and if we have a life that imitates the Son of God, that we will often be granted with wisdom and spiritual sensitivity for the gift of peacemaking. Being a peacemaker will be difficult for a lot of people, but I think it's an especial gift that is given to each and every one of us, especially us as Christians. And the result of being able to follow this formula of having a pure heart, of having a life that resembles and imitates the Son of God, and God blessing us with his wisdom and spiritual discernment leads us to be called the children of God. So the first point, the call to make peace. If we look in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What I take from this passage is that if you love your enemies, you will resolve the conflicts and make peace with them. There's a lot of chaos in this world when we look at the world around us. There's so much that is happening. And sometimes I don't think we realize that without God's love and his peace, salvation is virtually almost impossible. We were first reconciled with God and to God. And through the sacrifice of him on the cross and through the glorious resurrection, we have been given the message of peace. So when we think about peace, we think about Christ. An important aspect that we need to know when we think about peace is that we need God's help. Only with God's help is inner peace established in the human heart. And only with God's assistance can a link between our heart and others be also established. And when we look at our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself, we see how he was very particular about the need for peace among brothers and sisters. Even in St. Matthew chapter 5, later in the passage, verses 23 to 25, he speaks about, before offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. This is one of the primary reasons why we as a church, every Sunday prior to the start of the anaphora, we always involve ourselves in giving the kiss of peace and greeting our brethren in the kiss of love. so that our offering may be pure and that our offering may be acceptable before God's presence. The main thing here is that there should be no quarrel on the way, and that the inner link cannot be broken between us and other people. Saint Isaac the Syrian says, "It is when peace reigns in your life, and when your soul is obedient to you, and the rest of you along with it, that the peace of God is born in your heart. It is when peace reigns in your life, and when your soul is obedient to you, and the rest of you along with it, that the peace of God is born in your heart." When we think about Jesus Christ, he came down to this earth in order to reconcile himself to all things, as St. Paul says in his letter to the Church of Colossae. Christ himself, the only begotten Son of God, is the great peacemaker. We refer to him as the Prince of Peace, as the prophet Isaiah calls him. Blessed are the peacemakers who keep their conscience at peace with God and with their fellow men. And here in this passage it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Ultimately, peacemakers are those who have the peace of God in themselves and spread this peace to others. Having this peace means you are not worried about life or what others think of you. Having peace means you are not worried about what you will eat or what you will wear or how you look. Having peace means that you will not fight, but rather try to help those who do fight and quarrel. Having peace means when we are found using it, people around us will know we belong to God the Father. And ultimately, that's our goal. If we want to be true peacemakers, others have to recognize this peace in us that will lead them to glorify the name of God. And when I thought about this specific beatitude, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God," I thought of a corresponding word, which is faith, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit. The Greek word for faith is the same word for faithfulness. A peacemaker is truly the person who can be described as faithful. Faithful meaning one who walks in the footsteps of his master and does not deviate from it. St. Paul reminds us that we have been given the mystery, or the ministry of reconciliation. When we are called to do the same that Christ did, and this is the test of our faithfulness. We are called to do the same that Christ has done for us, and this is truly the test of our faithfulness. Peace and faith are always linked together. In fact, peace comes through our faith. St. Ephrem, the Syrian, says, "If your brother disagrees with what you say, do not be angry, but renounce your own will for the sake of love and peace." Sometimes I think it's so easy to hear these words, but how difficult it is to practice them. That even though we may disagree or we may be angry towards another, being able to renounce our own will for the sake of love and peace in this world, if we as a society, as a church, as a community, as a family began to practice this within our daily lives, I think this Lenten experience would be a lot more meaningful for us. If we look through all the prayers during the Great Lent and through Holy Week, everything is centered around the themes of forgiveness, reconciliation, being able to bring peace to this world, reconciling ourselves with God, repentance. And though these themes are there, there's a reason why it is centered, because this is what is required for us to be in true union with Jesus Christ, our Lord. As I end this evening, I want us to think about a few questions that I want to leave with everyone for this evening. When you reflect on the passage, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God," the first question that I want to ask is, do I have God's peace in my heart? And each of you will answer either yes or no. And most of us will probably be, an answer will probably be no. And then we have to identify those reasons as to why it is a no. which leads me to the second question. Have I been unfairly angry, aggressive, or impatient with others? And lastly, have I worked for peace at home, at work, in my church, and in society? Have I worked for peace in my home, at my work, in my church, and in society? I leave everyone with this few questions this evening and pray that the Holy Spirit will guide us, especially during this Lenten season, to identify where it is that we have gone wrong and what we can do to become true peacemakers in this world that will result us in being called the sons of God. Unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks, and blessings for his living words to us. Unto his Father who sent him for our salvation, and to his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen.